Next on Sound Doctrine, we've got a look at a familiar Sunday school classic that has great practical application for us today.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Are you in the midst of a scary trial? A few things in life are as scary as being thrown into a den of man-eating hungry lions. That is where we find Daniel today on Sound Doctrine. Welcome to the program. You know, Daniel trusted God every step of the way, and God would deliver him. With that in mind, we can and must trust the Lord in every situation we find ourselves in as well. Here's Pastor Jeff Johnson in Daniel chapter 6 with part 2 of Lions with Lockjaw on Sound Doctrine.
Remember Paul and Silas when they were in prison as they worshiped the Lord. And what a place to worship the Lord is. They just got beat up. They had these huge, roaches. They're just ugly looking things. You cut their head off, they'll live for 7 days. I mean, these guys are strong, man. And they're crawling all over them. There's rats all over them. Paul looked over to Silas and said, let's just worship the Lord. Let's just give it to God. And through that worship, man, it came deliverance. Incredible. Look at how their attitude was and their heart was. Let's just seek the Lord. How do you react when these things take place? The decree was signed. The stone was rolled over and sealed. The lion's den, again, where there was two rooms, and they would seal it off. Nobody could get in, nobody could get out. I like the sealing of it. It's the same way as when they sealed the tomb. When Pilate said, make it as sure as you can. And they put a seal around the stone after they rolled it in front of the door. So nobody could get in, nobody could get out. But Jesus has ways of getting out. He just went right down to Hades and started ministering and doing what he needed to do. But then the Lord made the whole world to shake, to just kind of toss the stone off to the side. Not that he could get out, so everybody could look in and see that he wasn't there. And now today you can go down into Jerusalem there and see the empty tomb. He's not there, he's risen. I love it. So Daniel's faith sort of sealed here. Nothing can change things. Hey, that's it. There's no hope, there's no light. You can't change the law. Nobody can. The king can't even do it. The guy's history. Look at verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought forth before him. He wasn't happy. He didn't want to sing. And his sleep went from him. He loved Daniel. He felt bad about the situation. He was jilted into doing it. He knew it was his fault. He fasted. He prayed. No music, couldn't sleep, full of guilt, restless, tormented. Like a lot of people, man, when they go to sleep at night, they're just restless. They have no peace. When Jesus said, you come unto me and I'll give you rest for your souls. Take my burden upon yourself. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I'll give you rest for your soul, man. There's a rest in the Lord that is incredible. That you lay your head down and you're out, you're gone. I believe that Daniel slept like a baby that night. I really do. Because he was looking to his God. He was trusting his God all the way. He slept. He was in God's hands. Over in Romans chapter 14, listen to this scripture. Romans 14 and verse 8. It says, whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. And I believe that's how Daniel felt. I'm the Lord's, man. No matter what happened, I'm just going to lay down. Over in Psalm, and this is a beautiful psalm for those of you that are troubled at night and have a hard time sleeping. Listen to this. This is in Psalm 4 in verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace, the psalmist says, and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Again, mind stayed upon Jehovah, finding, as he said, perfect peace and rest. Stayed upon him, though, looking to him, trusting in him. And that perfect peace comes. Look at verse 19 now. He goes on and says, then the king arose very early in the morning and went. He didn't arise from anything because he was already awake. He didn't sleep all night. He went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And he was kind of, I could hear him just going, are you alive? Thinking, he's dead. He's not even alive. After that sleeplessness, that, you know, the visions of, you know, ripping of flesh, and, you know, how can you sleep? You're just thinking, that's my buddy down there. That's my friend. That's the guy that revealed to me that I was in the Bible. You know, as Cyrus was excited seeing his name there. Seeing his head just being crunched by those lions. His body being ripped. Very early, still dark probably, he ran to this pit, this area of the pit, with mixed emotions and his voice quivering. Daniel? Daniel, you hear me? Servant of God. In anguish, he looked into the dark pit. Take the stone away. Yelling down into that pit. Are you there, Daniel? Is your God able? And I think he was wondering, can he do it? Would he do it? And our problem today is, I look at it, as we know he can, but our question is, will he, right? We know God is huge and he's able, but will he do it for me? And I think many times that's the question. Then all of a sudden, notice in verse 21, it says, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Bless you, king. My God has sent his angel. I love this, that personal relationship. My God, he is my God. Is he your God? That's awesome. He says, my God sent his angel. Probably the same angel that Nebuchadnezzar saw dancing around in that furnace with those three Hebrew kids. Jesus. He sent his angel. And he shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, so as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So Daniel speaks. He says, bless you, king. I had a great night. The lions were quiet. Never showed their teeth once. They sort of had locked jaw. And I slept like a baby. How was your night, king? How did you sleep? Now, Daniel's critics say that the lions were old. They didn't have teeth. They weren't hungry. They weren't hungry, okay? And they were old and they were toothless. We'll see in a little bit how much they were old and toothless. But Daniel said, it's my God that saved me. He's a present help in the time of need. And my God is able. God sent this angel to shut the lion's mouths. They couldn't even claw him. They didn't even have a desire to even look at him. God had them in his hands. You know, there's a lot of people that are going to be in the great tribulation period. And there's a lot of people going to be protected from that period. And God is going to put his spirit upon 144,000, his seal upon them. God's seal was on Daniel. There's nothing that could hurt him. The angels in the Bible, throughout the Bible, you can't see them. They're spirit beings. They're very much active spirit beings. Even today in our physical world, there's angels ministering to many. You don't even know it's an angel. Could be an angel unawares, remember, there in Hebrews 1:14. But they're ministering spirits, it says. All the way through the book of Acts, there's so many incredible experiences by angels. I've got a guardian angel. Do you know you have a guardian angel that's watching over you? There's been a number of times where I've been almost wiped out. I remember one time in Ghana when they took us into the jungle and an hour away, and there was a coup going on in Ghana and they were going to kill us. But the Lord caused confusion to come into their minds and they kicked us out of the fort and they let us go. We were praying, of course, big time. And then in Lebanon, I almost got killed. And I know that God had that Marine, as he was coming down with his shotgun, he held his finger because the day before he shot the people that were in the truck and he killed them. And there's a prayer meeting going on at the same time here. And God intervened. I got a guardian angel. There was a time I was on the freeway just going home from here, just tooling along in the fast lane. And all of a sudden, you know, I take my eyes off for just a second, and there's a car with no lights on parked in the fast lane. I didn't even have time to look if there's anybody beside me. I just went, whoop, whoop. Have you ever had that time? And then you look, and there was one coming fast, but it didn't get up there. And it was just like the angel, whoop, 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 and just went right around that guy. And I didn't do that. That was an angel. Man, I would have been just wiped out. But interventions of God's hand in our lives is incredible. Angels can also appear in physical form. We know in Hebrews 13, verse 1 and 2, it talks about how they've come in physical form. They were there in physical form in front of Mary. I know that there is two worlds that are in existence in this one world today. There is the spiritual and there is the temporal. The temporal is what we see. The spiritual is what we don't see. That's very active. Demonic spirits and angels all around this place doing their thing. We are in the midst of spiritual warfare, Ephesians 6:12. In high places, it goes on constantly. In the last day, the Bible says there will be a revival of spiritism, demonic spirits. Over in Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Can you leave the faith? Yes. You can leave the faith. Can you lose your salvation? No, but you can leave it. They'll depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. People being ripped off constantly by this revival of spiritism. And many will decide to be on the dark side instead of God's side, making their decision, choosing. Remember over in Acts in chapter 26, where the Lord was speaking to Paul. In verse 18, he said, Paul, I'm calling you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. God sent us into the world to do the same thing. So Daniel tells the king, my guardian angel saved me. These lions might roar, but they have no bite. They're all bark and no bite type of thing. Big pussycats. That's all they've been all night. Been fine. Everything's been great. Notice verse 23. And then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den immediately. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because, notice, he believed in what? His God. Of course, the king was elated to hear that he was alive. Get him out of there. When I was reading this, get him out of there, out of that pit. I thought about how the Lord heard my cry and took me out of the miry pit, out of the miry clay and the horrible pit, and put my feet upon a solid rock, even Jesus Christ, the Lord. Put a new song in my heart. Even praise. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Testimony. That's awesome. We all have our testimony, what God has done. No smoke, no singe on the three Hebrew kids' clothes. The only thing burned was that which was binding them. So the fire sometimes is brought into our lives to do what? To break us out of that which is binding us, that we can serve the Lord even in a greater way. But here it's totally different. There's not a scratch or mark on Daniel. Nothing. Why? Because it says he believed in his God. Hebrews 11:6. They that come to God, it is impossible to please him without faith. They that come to God must first believe that he is, and then that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is looking for us to look to him for salvation. So he gets all the glory. That's what Daniel was doing while he was in there. Just, Lord, you're with me. I can sleep. I'm okay. So Daniel believed in his God. He didn't lean to his own understanding. He didn't try to figure it out himself. He trusted in the Lord with what? All of his heart. He acknowledged the Lord, and the Lord directed his path and got him out of there. So Daniel was delivered through faith. It stops the mouths of lions. To those who please God, who walk in faith, salvation and deliverance. You see, this is the reason why we must wait before we jump to the wrong conclusion about our situation. If we don't wait, if we start jumping the gun, if we start leaning to our own understanding and saying, well, what's going on? This is going to happen now. This is great. Now this is going to take place. And again, the enemy jumps right down and says, yeah, and you know what else? Let me tell you some more stuff that's going to happen. And he's right there with you on your journey downward. And you're just, oppressed, depressed, and you just can't see light at the end of the tunnel. If we begin to think and start saying what's going to take place, we're going to have to apologize, because that's not going to happen. You're God's child. It's not going to take place. The promises of the Lord are to us. You're going to have to apologize. You're going to have to repent. And how many times have we done that? Lord, I'm sorry. I thought I was going to wipe out, man. Yeah, Lord, I know you're not going to give me more than that I can handle, and with that way, you're going to give me a way of escape. But I didn't believe it. I thought for sure that was it. And as you look back, you go, well, I guess it wasn't. But I was sure quoting that scripture, you know. Lord, you know. And we panic. Because God has got this plan that's awesome. And again, it's for good. And it is for his glory. Now, for those who don't please God, for those who do not walk in faith, God's got something for you tonight. And that's verse 24. Then the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and broke all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. In other words, before they even hit the bottom of the den, their bodies had been ripped and torn and they were dead immediately. I would say that this is what has been called God's poetic and divine justice. For those who chew on people, they are the ones who will be bitten. I believe that. If you seek to hurt or destroy others, you will be destroyed yourself. And it's been proven over and over again. Notice it says, for those who accused. And the Aramaic for the word accused means to slander. And the definition of slandering is to eat pieces of a man. To devour somebody with your slander and your accusations. Very dangerous. And you know, when you look at this, you go, my gosh, what happened here? The kids and the wives, how'd they get hooked up? Well, the leader of the home, you know, let him right down into the pit. How many men of the home are leading their homes into the pit? Not even thinking anything about it. Leading their children right into the pit because they're so stubborn and they don't want to do what God is asking or requiring of them. They said, no, I won't go that way. Remember with Haman's gallows, he built them for Mordecai. Guess who ended up hanging in those gallows? Haman. They put Daniel into the pit. But they, now who are they? Not the 120 princes, not the two other presidents that were under Daniel. No, it was to those men and their families who had accused Daniel, who tripped the king into making that decree to trap Daniel. Those wicked men that thought that they had an up on the whole thing, that they had it all figured out, that they could, you know, do what they wanted to do, and they entrapped him. It's like the enemy, Satan, when Jesus was crucified outside the city walls, and he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head. The whole city rejoiced. And you know, Satan himself rejoiced, but he hadn't a clue what he'd just done. It was the sacrifice for the world's sins. And God pulled him, you know, pulled a fast one, right? Took him right out. And that cross just literally detoothed Satan. Now he'll just try to gum you, you know? But that's nothing. That's nothing. He's very active, isn't he? But the blood of Jesus is powerful. You talk about hungry lions. You talk about sharp teeth. Their bones were broken. It takes something to break a femur, the leg, just to snap it. That's powerful jaws. And these lions hadn't eaten in a long time. Because that's what they do. They starve the lions and then they throw in and they watch what happens. This has always been the fate of those who come against God's people. God says this to us tonight. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Don't try to get vengeance on anybody. Don't get upset. Don't freak out. God always keeps good books. He writes everything down. David, it says in the scriptures, was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because of repentance. That's true, huh? He had a heart that was sorry. But he never sought revenge. When Saul would throw his spear, David would just look at it and pull it out of the wall and set it down. And he wouldn't be a spear chucker. He didn't throw it back. But so many times we want to just take it out of the wall, turn it around, he's going to get it. And I'm going to give it to him, you know. You know, don't do it, back off. God's keeping good books. The Lord knows everything. And what goes around comes around.
Vengeance is best left with the Lord. A good reminder there as we close out today's Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. Today's message from the book of Daniel is called Lions with Lockjaw. Well, as we close things out, I'd like to mention that these studies are available online at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also call and request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5. At 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. We'd like to pause at this time to say how thankful we are to the Lord for you, our listeners. We simply couldn't do what we do without the faithful support of God's people and God's provision. So thank you for standing with us. This month, we've picked out a wonderful book written by Elizabeth Elliot called Let Me Be a Woman. I don't have to tell you, there's a great deal of gender confusion in our world today, so we need to be reminded more than ever of what it means to be a woman. In this book, Elizabeth shares observations and experiences bathed in Scripture that will help you ladies be the woman God created you to be. Especially needed in these days of conflicting demands and cultural pressures. It's available at sounddoctrineradio.org or Call us at 800-353-7553. And if you could include a little extra, that would be a blessing. And it helps to continue this ministry on this radio station as well as others. Hey, would you do us a favor and email us today while it's fresh on your mind? We want to know who's listening and where, and pray for you as well. Our email address is sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Glad you've taken time out of your day to study with us here the book of Daniel. Come back next time as Pastor Jeff picks up where we left off, and we'll continue to build our lives on sound doctrine and the solid ground of Scripture. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey. So Father, won't you